I don't know if technically we call the meeting to order, but why don't we unofficially call it to order? And just to remember, so we're doing this, of course, remotely, and there will be guests who are monitoring the meeting, or at least part of the meeting. So it's important that we be as clear as possible. If people are a bit garbled, we should let us know. We should speak in an so-called audible voice so you can be heard. Remain on mute unless you are speaking to help keep the background noise to a minimum. And state your name before making or seconding a motion. The meeting will be recorded, and the recording should be available on the Department of Health website in about 3 business days. So either probably next Monday, I would guess. Let's start with board introductions. My name is Lauren Mendel. I am the chair of the board at present, and I'm a distinguished professor emeritus in the Department of Neurobiology and Behavior at Stony Brook. I've been a member of SCRB since 2004, and I've been chair since 2013. So I'll just call on you in the order that I see you on my screen here. So Fraser, why don't you start? Who are you?
Yeah, I'm just double checking I'm not muted. That's the standard, yeah. Right? My name is Fraser Sim. I'm an associate professor at SUNY University at Buffalo, and I run a lab that has expertise in multiple sclerosis and animal models of demyelination and remyelination.
Okay, Adam.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Adam Stein. I am the chair and professor of physical medicine rehabilitation at the Zucker School of Medicine at Hofstra Northwell. Long-term spinal cord injury clinician, board certified. Not quite sure how many years I've been on the board. Not as long as Lauren, but it's been a while now.
Well, okay. The next is Bernice on my list here. So Bernice, tell us who you are. Oh, Bernice, you're muted. Bernice?
How about now?
Now it's better. Yep, now okay. I can hear you.
Okay, I'm Bernice Grafstein. I'm professor of physiology at Weill Cornell Medicine in New York City.
Okay. Keith, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Now I hear you, yep.
So I'm Keith Gergi, a resident of the town of Ulster in Ulster County. I'm a disability rights advocate, and I've been on the board since, I think, 2012.
Okay, so that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Who else do we have? I don't see any other names here, Andrea.
Christian?
Chris. Yeah. I was going to say, I'm Chris Ragnarsson. I'm on the phone. Sorry about that.
Oh, hi. How are you? How are you?
I'm doing fine. I am the emeritus professor and chairman of the Department of Rehabilitation Medicine at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. And I've been practicing spinal cord injury medicine since the early 1970s.
Okay, good. Well, thank you. Board. I didn't. For several years. Yeah. So we've had 6. We need one more, and we're waiting for a quorum, and we're waiting for Mickey Goldberg to join us. I'd like the staff now to introduce themselves. So why don't we start with Andrea, and maybe you should point to people and ask them to introduce themselves.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Andrea Garavelli. I am the Director of Extramural Grants Administration with the Department of Health. I am joined by several staff members today, and I'm just going to quickly run down who is here from the Department of Health. We have Janine Tush, David Guggens, Carlene Van Patten, Carrie Klitzman, and Alana Busher, who is going to be serving as the executive secretary to the board. And we'll get into more board membership updates in a few minutes. Janine is working to get Mickey on the line. We've emailed and she keeps calling. So we're trying to get this straightened out as soon as possible.
Okay, so thank you. So it's good enough that you've done that. We don't have to have each individual person do that as we have in the past. Okay, so today's agenda includes the following. We're going to vote on the SCRB annual reports. We're going to have a program, a membership update from the Department of Health. Review of future requests for applications. And most importantly, we will consider applications for funding the PART grants and the IDEA grants. We have a number of those to consider. And also the translational research projects in spinal cord injury round four. So before we get into that, and while again, we're waiting to reach quorum, I'd like to quickly indicate some changes to the board, some updates. So since the board last met, which is now a long time ago, I think a couple of years ago, we've had Dr. Anthony Conjarno and Dr. Gary Page resignations from SCRB. Dr. Page served as an active participating member since 2007. The Commissioner of Health thanked them both for their service, and we wish both of them all the best. Now, the Speaker of the Assembly, Carl Heastie, has the authority to fill these two vacant seats. There are two other vacancies. One can be filled by Governor Kathy Hochul, and one can be filled by the temporary President of the Senate, Andrea Stewart Cousins. I would like to note, and so this is, for me anyway, a very significant change, that this will be my last board meeting as serving as chair. So I'm going to step down as chair. However, and my place will be taken, I'm delighted to say, by Dr. Adam Stein. So Adam Stein, as he said himself, not knowing that I was going to refer to it, has been a very distinguished, well, he didn't say that, but I'll say that, a very distinguished spinal cord injury doctor. He's at Hofstra in the School of Medicine there, and I guess at North Shore is the hospital you, is that right, Adam, the where you practice actually?
So, we would just say Northwell Health, the name of our health system.
Oh, right. Northwell Health. Right. I should have known that. Okay.
That's okay.
Good. So, yeah. So, Adam practices there, and he will run the, he will be the he will actually technically, until he is formally appointed, be the vice chair of this, of this board. Now, until now, the vice chair was Don Faber. Don has stepped down. Unfortunately, Don is not too well, and we wish him the best in the future. I also would like to point out that Nancy Lieberman, who is a distinguished board member, will not be here today. She has not been well and is not able to participate. So we wish her all the best in the speedy recovery. Adam will take the role of the acting board chair, I guess, be the vice chair. I will continue on the board as a member. The other issue that is very important is that we must try to increase board membership. It's been difficult because of the strict requirements. And the other thing is that it takes a long time to appoint people because this has to be done by the appropriate official, the chair of the head of the House, the leader of the House, the leader of the temporary president of the Senate, or the governor's office. So those offices, of course, are busy doing lots of things, and it takes them a long time to appoint people. And that's been a real problem for us. The main thing we can do is to give them a number of names, at least to consider. And I know Adam has already done that. And that's very important. So I just looking through my little script here, Don Faber has shared that he would like to congratulate the staff and board members for their efforts to build a strong and successful structure, and one that will hopefully continue to grow and contribute to the development of our knowledge base of scientific mechanisms exploited by strategies directed to restoration of motor control. Okay. So Adam will, as new vice chair, will continue to run these meetings in the future. There have been a number of changes in the Department of Health. Vicky Derbyshire has retired. Carlene Van Patten will soon be retiring. And I would like to introduce Elena, I don't know if I have the pronunciation correct, Alana Boucher, who will be the Associate Director for Administration at Wadsworth Center. And she will serve as Executive Secretary to the Board. So are there any questions about any of this? Okay.
Lauren, given what you said about the numbers of people on the board, the appointments, I think it would be useful, certainly for me, if one of the staff could review what the qualifications are for serving on the board as we move forward, because I think they've become restrictive, but I think that we'd like to have someone other than me just try to recruit new members. So
right.
If somebody could tell us that, I think that'd be helpful.
Well, go ahead.
I was going to say, not only inclusion criteria for the board qualifications, but also exclusion criteria, because I know that there are many qualified spinal cord injury investigators who might want to join if it wasn't for the exclusion that they could not apply for any grant from this body.
So, Andrea, I wonder if you could comment on that, because it seems to, I think there is a suggestion that that might change, or is that correct? Andrea, did you hear that?
I did. Sorry, I was just trying another number for Mickey. Okay, so board member requirements to be a board member. They are, you have to be a New York State resident, which I know previously under the old administration, the board members were allowed to be from outside of New York State so long as they were working at a New York State institution. The new administration, the governor's appointments office, has determined that you do need to be a New York State resident to be considered for board membership. So that's moving forward, Christian. It's not, something that will change with your appointment, but moving forward, we do need to have New York State residents. They can be in any field of spinal cord injury advocates. So it's just that you have to be a New York State resident. I think that's the biggest one. And I think other factors are that potential members, they cannot receive funding for their labs or draw down salaries. But it has been determined that board members can be listed on applications as unpaid advisors, mentors, collaborators. They just can't draw down a salary on these applications. And of course, should a board member be listed on an application, they would recuse themselves from the discussion and voting of that application.
Okay. So I just wanted to question one thing there, because I understand the salary issue, but can their lab in any way receive funding, let's say their postdocs or their graduate students or their technicians?
Yes. Yes. Yep. It can't be the board member themselves. So yeah, any lab members, that is fine.
So that would mean that in principle, that would be a big change, I think, from what we've had in the past. My understanding is that was not possible. So I think that's an important losing a particular restriction that made it difficult to recruit people. Because if you can have somebody in your lab supported, that's most of us, I mean, we like salary, but on the other hand, often our salary comes from somewhere else. The real question is to have people in our labs being supported. And what you're saying is that might be possible, that is possible now for members of the board. So that's true for all of you that are members of the board, and could very well be important. I think you should speak to Andrea about this, should you want to make some kind of a change in your support. Okay.
Can I ask a follow-up question, just very briefly?
Yeah.
Are the RFAs requiring a minimum percent effort for the PI?
They do. None of our RFAs require a minimum effort, except for fellowships. We require.
No, I was just thinking, because then a board member could put themselves down as not requesting salary, but still be a PI on a grant.
No. Right, you couldn't be a PI on a grant.
Okay.
But a co-investigator, could it be without salary?
So what we've come down to is that it needs to be a mentor, a collaborator, an advisor. It can't be that a board member would be the one being awarded the contract as a PI or a co-PI.
There's just one additional way in which this could happen. It seems to be not a co-PI, but a co-investigator, a co-I, which NIH certainly makes that distinction. It used to be just PIs and co-Is, and then it went to PIs, co-PIs, and co-investigators. And a co-investigator is just someone who is active on the scientific content of the grant, but in principle doesn't make any decisions with regard to how the funding is steered. I don't know how.
Okay, so that's something that I can get clarification from our ethics officer on, and get back to everybody on that. But those are good questions.
Yeah. Okay.
We need to get that one clarified. That's fair. That's. In terms of recruiting new board members, that co-investigator question is a big one.
Okay.
Right. And then the other point is that it's perfectly appropriate to recruit people for the board who are not necessarily practicing scientists. I mean, there's one category, which is some of us who are retired and no longer really need any funding, no longer deserve any funding, although we may have been well-funded in the past. So that's one group of people. And the other are people like Keith, who are consumers of this kind of information, who have definite ideas with regard to how the funding should be spent and so on, sort of community members, who certainly deserve some say in what happens here. And so it would be perfectly acceptable to try to recruit some of those kind of people, people with that particular expertise. Now, Keith, I got a note from Andrea saying that you wanted to say something, and I would like to recognize you right now to do that.
Cool. Thank you, Lauren. I just wanted to speak very briefly on the passing of Paul Richter, August 1st, 2020. So that was after our last meeting. So I just wanted to recognize the work that Paul Richter did to advocate to create the Spinal Cord Injury Research Program. He's a previous board member, long-term board member. And I just wanted to thank him for his work and just make it noted in the minutes for this meeting. Just thank you. And we will miss him.
We certainly will. Okay, we were notified, it seems to me, by maybe Andrea. Somebody sent me an email about it, and I know I sent that around to a number of people, I think, on the board. But it is important in our formal proceedings to recognize his contribution, which were major. I mean, if it were not for Paul, I don't think we would have this board functioning and all the funding that's gone to members of spinal cord injury research community around New York State. Okay, so what's with Mickey? Have we found him?
We have not found him. We are struggling. If you could just give us a few more minutes
yes.
to see if he responds.
Right. I wrote to him. I wrote to him just now while part of my attention was trying to put that email together. So I have sent him a note and we'll see what happens.
Okay. Andrew, before we leave the topic of board qualifications, I understand, and we all know that diversity, equity, and inclusion is really important for any group to function well. I thought I understood that there were some requirements for new potential board members from that perspective. And so if you're nodding your head, so what are they?
Okay, I'm sorry, I forgot. Those are new requirements. So the governor's office requires that our boards are comprised of 50% female board members. So right now, we are not at 50% female board members, so we can only move forward new potential members that are female New York State residents. And I also pulled up the statute for board members, and the research board shall include, but not be limited to.
Andrea, I'm sorry, I can't hear you because I know you're trying to
read something else.
Okay.
Sorry, but I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So members of the board shall include, but not be limited to, representatives of the following fields: neuroscience, neurology, neurosurgery, neuropharmacology, and spinal cord rehabilitative medicine. So it's broad. And then, of course, our other New York State residents. And right now we're trying to increase the number of female board members. So we're only putting forward females at this point.
Well, I understand that, and I'm fully in agreement with it. I don't know how difficult it's going to be to only to leave out certain to leave out males at this particular point. I just don't know what the distribution of eligible people females is. I mean, I personally appointed one, Bernice, and that's been fine. Yes, Bernice. But I just hope we haven't hamstrung ourselves by insisting that all the new members be female. I don't object to it. I would love to do it. I just don't know how many there are. Do we have any idea of how much we are restricting ourselves here? And we don't have such an easy time appointing new people.
So, Andrea, if we get those two people who are in the hopper, so to speak, who are obviously both women.
Okay, well, then that'll help. Then we
Pat,
would be up.
We're we, still, yeah. we, I think we need, so it would be for, we would need two, at least two more female.
Oh, we need two more. Would there be, right. you know, given the nature of this board and given the, and I get what this is trying to do, I would wonder if we could consider an additional male person with a disability from a point of view of equity and inclusion.
This is something we can bring forward to the governor's appointments office and let them know. This is something that, you know, would be a potential and would it be considered and move forward? Male.
Thank
yeah,
you.
I think that's important to do. At a good point, Adam. I mean, the really important thing is that we have a full complement of board members, so that we wouldn't have problems like we're having this morning. Right. It's really important to do. But I congratulate Adam for being able to find two appropriate female board members. That's good. All right.
I can give you names of two women who are both clinical investigators in spinal cord injury medicine. They both work at the James Peters VA hospital in the Bronx and the medical center. And it's Andrea Spungen and Jill Wecht. They're both very smart women and have dedicated their life to work with clinical problems relating to spinal cord injury.
Yeah,
have been funded.
I would certainly, agree with those recommendations. I just don't know if they are going to be willing to forego the funding. But those are the people we would love to have on the board.
It sounds like we're okay with
you.
So there, we could cast the net to include faculty interested in neuroscience at other SUNY institutions, right? I'm thinking of Holly in Lawrence Institution, Holly Colagnato, you probably.
Right, there. Right.
She's unlikely to apply for SCERB funding.
Right. I mean, when I was thinking of people, Gary Page was someone who I felt from Rochester, who was a board member. He works in an area that is very, it's certainly neuroscience, but very unlikely to appoint to apply for funding. The other kind of people are people like me and perhaps Bernice, you know, who had funding at one point but have graduated to beyond that. To beyond that level, and now are willing to help, which is the way I feel. Really feel it's a privilege to be able to help my younger colleagues, and I'm sure Bernice feels the same way. Okay.
Okay. So I didn't catch Holly's last name.
Cognato. Colognato. And she's in the Department of Pharmacology at Stony Brook.
It's also, I can send an email, but there's a couple of new faculty assistant professors at Albany and Albany Medical College, and the other ones at Upstate.
They're okay, both. Yes. If you could send us an email with those names, we can always reach out to see.
They don't do spinal cord, but they're very familiar with brain injury. Spinal injury.
That's great. Fun. Yeah, I think that. Right. I think diversifying the board that way is very important. Yeah.
All right. And Christian, I have Anne Spungen, and I'm familiar with her name because she has applied. And did you say Jill West or Jill Welch?
No, Jill, J-I-L-L, West, W-E-C-H-T.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you. And it looks like Mickey has joined.
Yeah, wonderful. Sorry. Mickey, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? Nice to see you.
I'm fine. I just was not looking at my watch.
Oh, okay. I thought you might have been in Hawaii or something and looked at your watch and say, well, it's only 3 in the morning. They don't need me yet.
No, no such luck. I'm on the upper west side.
Yeah. Anyway, it's nice to see you. So I think what we're going to do next, so what we've done up until now is introduce the board members, the staff. We've commented on the fact that the board is going to undergo some change. Adam Stein will become the vice chair of the board, and he will run the meetings now, since I am stepping down as board chair. Hopefully, Adam, when the appropriate officials in Albany allow it, will become the board chair. But in the meantime, he will be effectively the board chair until the all of the little men move into place.
Lauren, your headset again. Thank you.
All right. So I just said that Adam is.
Oh, we heard that.
To be running. You heard that. Okay. So I don't have to repeat it. Okay. Okay. So we have some sort of some pro forma things to do.
Yes, I think we should start with the minutes, Lauren.
That's where I am. That's what I'm looking at. Yeah. So let's start by considering the minutes from the meeting of January 24th, 2020. So that's over 2 years ago. In the minutes, please note that the response to the question, could board members be appointed to the SCRB if they lived outside of New York State? Will be updated per the governor's appointments office. Now, we didn't actually discuss that, Andrea, in this last little thing. So what is the status of that? I think the answer is no, right? If they live outside New York State, they live in Connecticut. I don't hear you, Andrea. Okay.
So yes, you have to be a New York State resident to be considered for appointment on the board moving forward. So under the old administration, it was you could live in Connecticut, but work at Columbia or at any New York State institution. New appointment, new legal team, different opinion. And that opinion is that yes, you do need to be a New York State resident.
Okay.
So where does that leave me, Andrea?
That leaves you, Christian, serving in your seat as you are now until an appointment is made in your seat.
So you're grandfathered.
Yes, you're grandfathered in.
All right.
Oh, I'm a grandfather of 12.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Already. Well, wow. Okay. Well, that's very nice. Okay. So that will that has been updated. It sounds like. And you must be a resident of New York State. Okay. So may I have a motion to approve the minutes as presented with the with any edits, which I think there are none. Okay, Keith, any second?
Second.
Okay, Bernice, all right. Now, how are we gonna do the roll call? Can people just use their, is there a way of signaling that with, or do we have to raise hands? I don't understand. Or do I have to call everybody?
We have to do a roll call.
All right. So I'm very sorry about that. Okay. So, Adam.
Oh, yes. Approved. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. You can just raise your hand. That should be enough. Okay. Bernice?
Yes.
Yes. Fraser?
Yes.
Keith?
Yes.
Mickey?
Yes.
Lauren, yes. And who else? Christian?
Yes.
Okay, so that's 7. Okay, so the minutes have been approved. Okay, so now we're going to hear an overview of the RFAs. And let me remind you that while we are in public session, as we are now, we can only talk about global processes and generalities. Okay, Andrea, take it away.
Thank you, Lauren. Okay, so the translational applications, which are listed in score order, are displayed in Exhibit 3, Tab 12 of your meeting materials. This RFA made $8 million available to fund approximately 2 awards. 2 applications were submitted by the December 9th due date. Please note that if the board recommends the top scoring application, funding of $3.57 million would be programmed. If the top 2 applications, or the 2 applications, are recommended, funding of $7.57 million would be programmed. These contracts are expected to begin October 1st of 2022 for a term of 5 years. And the SCRB may vote in favor or against any application submitted for funding. And if an application for which there are available funds is not recommended for funding, the board will fully justify in writing why the application was not approved. Are there any questions about the translational applications?
Yes, this is Keith. How the duration of the award?
They're 5 years.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay.
So next are the part and idea applications. These are listed in score order and can be found in Exhibit 2, Tab 4 of your binder. This RFA made $5 million available to support 5 to 14 awards. We received 29 applications by the November 16th due date. You'll note that in your order of review, there are only 28 applications listed, and that is because one PI had withdrawn their application because it received funding elsewhere. Scoring ties were resolved using the score for the research plan among those applications involved in a tie. Please note that if the board recommends the top 9 scoring applications, funding of $5.75 million would be programmed. These contracts are also expected to begin on October 1st, 2022 for a multi-year term of 3 years for part awards and 2 years for idea awards. And as always, the board may vote in favor or against any application submitted for funding. The board will fully justify in writing why any application for which funding was available was not approved. And as in the past, the board may choose to approve but not fund other meritorious applications if there are declinations for the approved awards. Are there any questions?
No.
Okay. All right.
So, when at some point now we do go into executive session, is that correct?
Yes, that's now.
Yeah, you're right.
So we just need a motion to go into an executive session.
Right. So moved, Adam.
Okay, and thank you. Okay. All right. So when we go into exec, so do we have to have a vote on this? We need to have a vote on this. All right. I am approving it. Adam.
Yep.
Yes. Bernice.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Lauren. I just couldn't hear you again. I'm sorry.
Okay. This is a real problem. Sorry. Okay. So. This is a vote to go into executive session. All right. Oh, and you're voting yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. Fraser.
Yes.
Okay. And Keith.
Yes.
Mickey.
Yes.
And Chris.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And I think I voted yes. Okay. So we're now in executive session. So Andrea, do we do something to get all people that shouldn't be here off the call? I can't hear you, Andrea, you're muted.
Okay, we're going to place all members of the public in a waiting room, and we will let you rejoin the meeting when we reconvene in public session, which should be around 12:30, 1 o'clock, since we're getting a little bit of a late start.
Yeah.
So Janine's working to move all those folks to a waiting room, and I'll let you know when we can get started.
Okay.
Okay, I think we are.
All right. Yeah, I see their faces are no longer here, so I assume they're not with us. Okay. All right. So we're now at the stage. If I can come in here, we're now at the stage where we're in public session, and we're all going to vote for 2 blocks of proposals. I guess it will be Andrea who will lead us through this voting. So I'm going to turn it over to Andrea, who will explain what we're doing and what the voting actually means. So go ahead.
Okay. So we're going to start with our recommendations for the translational research projects and spinal cord injury round 4 applications. I will list the applications, the application number, the principal investigator, and the institution, and then we'll make a motion. So to get started, the first translational proposal is application number 6 from Chad Boughton at the Feinstein Institute of Medical Research. The second proposal is application number 7 from Dr. Agrawal at the Trustees of Columbia University. So may I have a motion to recommend to the commissioner that these 2 translational applications be funded using peer review results in score order as the basis for this decision?
Do I have to be recused from this? This is Columbia.
Nope. We're voting en bloc using peer review results. So there will be no recusals in public session.
I'll make the motion.
Okay, thank you, Keith.
I second it.
Second.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and now I'm going to do a roll call. Mickey?
Yes.
Okay, Bernice?
Yes.
Christian?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Frazier?
Yes.
Keith?
Yes.
Okay, great. So in summary, the SCRB has recommended 2 translational research project awards totaling $7.57 million.
Andrea, do I get a chance to vote on this or not?
Well, oh, yes, I'm sorry, Lord.
I mean, I should get both the credit and the blame. Okay, I do vote.
All right.
Yes, right.
Great. Did I forget anybody else?
I don't think so.
Okay. Okay, so now I'd like the board to approve the next translational RFA to be approved or to be released. So may I have a motion to release the next translational round 5 RFA in 2022 with $8 million available?
So moved.
And I'll second.
Okay, thank you, Adam. All right, now we'll vote. Lorne?
Yes.
Mickey?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Christian?
Yes.
Bernice?
Yes.
Frazier?
Yes.
Keith?
Yes.
Okay. Did I got everybody that time, right?
Yeah, okay. It's fine, Andrea.
Okay. I can't see everybody on one screen. Okay, so the next order of business is to vote on recommendations for award from the Part and Idea and Spinal Cord Injury Round 5 RFA. We're going to be voting in block again. So I will list the application number, the principal investigator, and the institution. The first application is application number 5 from Dr. Nikolov at Sloan Kettering Institute for Cancer Research. The second application is application number 25 from Dr. Hollis at the Winifred Masterson Burke Medical Research Institute, doing business as Burke Neurological Institute. The third application is application number 3 from Dr. Solomon at Stony Brook University. The fourth application is application number 2 from Dr. Sahini at Burke Medical Research Institute, DBA Brain and Mind Research Institute. The fifth application is application number 36 from Dr. Havton at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. The sixth application is application number 8 from Dr. Gupta at the Albany Research Institute, National Center for Adaptive Neurotechnologies. The seventh application is application number 20 from Dr. Undia at the City College of New York. The eighth application is application number 31 from Dr. Martin at the City College of New York. And the ninth application is application number 24 from Dr. Hollis at the Burke Research Institute, doing business as Burke Neurological Institute. So may I have a motion to approve these 9 applications in score order using the peer review results?
So move.
Second.
Okay, and now we'll vote. Keith?
Yes.
Lauren?
Yes.
Mickey?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Bernice?
Yes.
Frazier?
Yes.
Christian?
Yes.
Okay, great. So that is approved. Okay. So the next vote we have is like a motion to approve but not fund should there be any declinations, another Part and Idea award. This is application number 18 from Dr. Zhao at the Icahn School of Medicine at Mount Sinai. I have a motion to approve but not fund.
So moved.
Okay, Bernice, and second.
Second.
Frazier. Okay, and now we'll vote. Frazier?
Yes.
Christian?
Yes.
Mickey?
Yes.
Lauren?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Bernice?
Yes.
And Keith?
Yes.
All right, wonderful. Okay. These recommendations will be forwarded to the Commissioner of Health for approval. After those approvals are received, letters of award and regret are sent to the applicants with their critique and scores. From there, Department of Health staff will work with the awardees to finalize work plans, budgets, and any issues of concern that were discussed today. Okay, so the next motion is a motion to release the next institutional support solicitation of interest in 2022 with $6 million available. Could I have a motion for that?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. And now we'll vote. Fraser?
Yes.
Okay. Christian?
Yes.
Mickey?
Yes.
Lauren?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Bernice?
Yes.
And Keith?
Yes.
All right. Wonderful. Just one second. Okay, so our next vote, may I have a motion to release the next round of Part and Idea, Round 6 RFA in 2022 with $5 million available?
Move to approve.
So move.
All right. And now we'll have a vote. Fraser?
Yes.
Christian?
Yes.
Mickey?
Yes.
All right. Adam?
Yes.
Bernice?
Yes.
Keith?
Yes.
Lauren?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. So the next order of business would be a motion to include the work plan narrative page limitation as a pass-fail item on all RFAs moving forward.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, and now I'm going to do a vote. Lauren?
Yes.
Keith?
Yes.
Christian?
Yes.
Mickey?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Bernice?
Yes.
Okay, and Fraser?
Yes.
Everybody? And then may I have a motion to include adding a triage at a level 5 for all future RFAs?
So move.
Second.
All right, and we'll do a roll call. Lauren?
Yes.
Keith?
Yes.
Adam?
Yep.
Bernice?
Yes.
Fraser?
Yes.
Christian?
Yes.
Mickey?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Our next order of business is to consider and vote on the draft SCRB 2019 annual report, which is Exhibit 4 in your meeting materials. Does anybody have any comments on the 2019 annual report? Okay. May I have a motion to approve the report as presented?
So moved.
Thank you, Bernice.
Second.
Thanks, Adam. Okay. Roll call. Christian?
Yes.
Keith?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Bernice?
Yes.
Fraser?
Yes.
Lauren?
Yes.
Mickey?
Yes.
Okay, great. Next order of business is to consider and vote on the draft SCRB 2020 through 21 report, which is Exhibit 5 in your meeting materials. Does anybody have any comments about Exhibit 5? Okay. May I have a motion to approve the report as presented?
So moved.
Okay.
Second.
And roll call, Mickey?
Yes.
Christian?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Bernice?
Yes.
Fraser?
Yes.
Keith?
Yes.
And Lauren?
Yes.
All right. Great. Okay. So the final SCRB reports will be sent to the Commissioner of Health for approval, and then the report will be provided to the governor and legislative leaders. Okay, so it is 1:30. We have a quick program update. So I will run through that. That's Exhibit 6, Tab 15. So the active funding commitments for SCRB, we have two awards from the last round, translational research projects, round two. One of these contracts ended in April, and one received a no-cost extension and will now end on April 30th, 2023. Three of the PART awards from the PART and IDEA round three contracts are in their final year. Since they had received no-cost extensions, these contracts will end no later than April 30th, 2023. Five pre- and postdoctoral fellowships, round four contracts are in their final year and will end in July 2022. Our peer review contract with the American Institute for Biological Sciences continues and will end in December of 2024. There's one PART and seven of the eight IDEA round four contracts began in November of 2021. These multi-year contracts will end in October of 2023 for IDEAs and October of 2024 for PARTs. One of the eight IDEA awardees from this round declined his award and announced his retirement, and that was Dr. Zaro from SUNY Albany. Translational round four and PART and IDEA round five applications that were discussed today are anticipated to begin in October of 2022. And the fellowships round five RFA, which was released in March, those applications are due June 1st, and they will be voted on at the next board meeting, which will occur in the fall of 2022. Okay. So as you all know, the last New York State Spinal Cord Injury Research Symposium was held in October of 2018, and we planned this event in a little over a year. At our last meeting, the board voted to begin planning the next symposium for 2021, and with the pandemic and too many unknowns, that, you know, did not happen, and we would like to put the planning of the next symposium on hold until the next meeting.
I think we should see what develops and whether whether meetings are starting to be held in person. Meeting like this, I think, ideally should be held in person.
Okay, the next SCRB meeting will be planned for the fall of 2022, and the board will make award recommendations for the pre- and postdoctoral fellowships RFA. Please plan for this accordingly and respond to meeting canvas request. I would like to note that no one has provided written statements for the public comment portion of our meeting. Okay, and then the last order of business, since the next SCRB meeting will likely be held in person, and there has been some changes to public officers law and open meetings law, we would like to announce a resolution allowing flexibility for video conferencing due to extraordinary circumstances. This will allow members to participate and vote so long as there is quorum of members gathered at a physical location or locations open to the public. May I have a motion that the chair may use their discretion and in their absence, the vice chair, on behalf of the board, to excuse the members' physical attendance if the reason for the extraordinary circumstance is communicated to the chair, the board's chair or vice chair prior to the meeting.
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Keith.
Second.
Second. Okay, and I want to do a roll call. Lauren?
Yes.
Keith?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Frazier?
Yes.
Christian?
Yes.
Mickey?
Yes.
Bernice?
Yes.
Frazier, did I say?
Yeah, you did.
Yes. Okay. Did I get everybody? You're all jumbling around on my screen now. Okay. All right, so that's approved.
So, yeah, I want to say a couple of things, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
So this is my last meeting as chair, and Adam will be taking over for me effectively as chair, and I'm really delighted that he has agreed to do this. I want to thank all of you on the board for attending these meetings. I know it's a big sink for your time. And all of you are busy, and I understand that it's really important, though, that we do this. Just look what we've done today. We've given out somewhere in the neighborhood of, what, $13 million to deserving scientists. And this is a service we do both for the state and for our colleagues, our scientists. I want to particularly thank Andrea and the staff, Janine, and some of the others who I sort of see there. I was telling Adam, you know, this is not like running the symposium. I mean, we chose the speakers, but basically after that, the staff took over and did everything. And we had very little to do except to basically say, yeah, that sounds like a great idea. So I really want to thank the staff. It makes this job really quite pleasant, and it's really a pleasure to work with you, and I know Adam will enjoy that as well. I will remain on the board. I'm happy to do that. I'll do my best to come to the meetings in person, as I like to go places, and but I will look forward to seeing all of you, and thank you again for all you've done to make this very pleasant activity for me. So thanks very much, and have a nice summer.
We just thank you, Lauren, for everything that you've done and for your years of service to the board. And I would like to just also thank Don Faber, who was unable to make it, for his dedicated service to the board as well. And I think it's time to adjourn the meeting. So can I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Yeah, second.
If nobody says anything, I'd like to just thank Lauren for his leadership and service for all these years that he has been on the board. I think it has been remarkable, the success that he has enjoyed, and how he has led all of us into the right decisions, I believe. So you're good here. Luck to you. And
thank you very much.
I'm glad that you're staying.
Yes, yeah.
I absolutely agree. Lauren has done a great job.
Was there a member of the public that wanted to speak or no?
No.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you all very much. I appreciate it. And time to go and get back to work. I have
all right. Can we just do a quick roll call?
Okay. On the motion to adjourn. Okay.
Yes.
I yes.
Yes. Keith.
Yes.
Mickey. Mickey?
Yeah.
Okay. Frazier?
Yes.
All right. Bernice?
Yes.
Adam?
Yes.
Christian?
Yes.
All right. So this meeting is adjourned, and thank you all for coming and helping to make these important decisions, and we'll be in touch soon.
Okay.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye, bye, everybody. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Oh, I leave this meeting. What if I do this?